Well, our first one is Sola Fide, Latin. We're doing a lot of Latin today, aren't we? Which means by faith alone. And Luther particularly was somebody who felt this was a really critical one of the five principles of the Reformation. Now, I guess if you speak about faith today in our modern context, then the first thing that's going to come to people's minds is George Michael, and you've got to have faith. And Luther would agree with George Michael. I'm not quite sure he'd agree with him on many things, but he would definitely agree with George Michael on that. You have got to have faith if you want to know all that comes from what Christ has done for you on the cross. But I guess what Luther would want to add to what George Michael says is you've got to have faith alone if you want to be really confident of all that is yours in Jesus Christ. And the reason that Luther said that was because people used the language of faith in his day, but they used the language in a way that undermined the Bible's meaning of the word faith. So the Roman Catholic Church at the time that Luther was around had a canon that said this: if anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified — the impious just means the sinner, that's you and me, and justified means being made right with God — so if anyone saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, in such wise as to mean that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to obtain this grace of justification, that it's not in any way necessary to be disposed by the movement of his own will, let him be anathema. Now what they're saying, and it's a complicated set of words, isn't it, is, look, if you say that it's by faith alone and by nothing that you do or will of yourself that you are saved and can have confidence in salvation, well, we're saying, get out of the church. That's not what the church thinks. And Luther says that's wrong. That's simply wrong. You can't use the language of faith and then add on to that things that you must do as well, because that is to undermine what the Bible says about faith itself. And we have to face the reality, Luther knew what it was to be a good Roman Catholic at his day and to add things on of his own will and disposition. This is what Luther said. He said this: I kept the rule of my order so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was me, or it was I. All my brothers in the monastery who knew me will bear me out. If I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with vigils, prayers, readings, and other work. Luther, in his own day, was somebody who tried to add on to a simple trust or faith in all that God had done for him, to plenty of things, to assure himself of his salvation. Because that's what the church of his day said he needed to do. And he came to see, as he read the book of Romans, and it was this book of Romans that turned him round, that what the church said was in opposition to what the Bible said about what faith and trusting in God meant. That it was by faith alone in what God had done for him in Christ that he could be sure of his eternal destiny. He could be sure that he was right with God, that as a sinner he was forgiven. He didn't need to do anything to add anything to that. And it transformed Luther's life. It caused him to nail those theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. And it has transformed the lives of people down the centuries. And that's why it's important for us to look at it this morning. So, three things you'll be glad to hear about faith that I want us to see this morning. The first, and we're coming from Romans for this, it is the means by which we are made right with God. Have a look at verse 22 in your passage. So Paul here is writing to the Christians at Rome to remind them of what lies at the heart of their Christian faith. And he says, well, I'm going to read from verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God, which is apart from law — in other words, it isn't about doing things — has been made known, to which the Old Testament tells you, it testifies. And this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. See what Paul's saying?
there's been a whole group of people who've been thinking they can get right with God by keeping the law. And in fact, in just a few verses before this, he said, look, the law won't get you right with God, because no one keeps the law. We don't even keep the bits of the law that we sort of set for ourselves to keep, let alone the bits that other people set for us. Even if we're picky about which laws we keep, we fail. We don't get right with God by the things that we do or the laws that we keep. But, says Paul, there is amazingly a way of being right with God that God has told us about. And it comes, and this is the key thing, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's not a sort of option. Some will get right with God by being good and keeping the law. And some, if they're a bit of no-hopers, well, we'll give them an alternative route and we'll call it faith. No, it's to all who believe. To all. So faith is firstly the means by which we're made right with God. Now, do you see what he's saying here? He's saying particularly it's the means in contrast to the other way you think you might do it, which is by works, by doing things. Faith is the means by which we get right with God, not works, not doing things. That's why I put on the end of this, grace alone, not works. Because if you want, faith is the flip side of the coin of Christian faith, where grace is the other side of the coin. Grace is the way in which God gives us something that we don't deserve and haven't done anything to earn. Faith is the means by which we get or take hold of that which God is giving. Now, I know Matt last week came out and gave a gift to make the point about grace alone. It's what God gives. Faith, in a way, is the means by which we hold on to the gift or open the gift or benefit from the gift. It's the way we attach ourselves to the gift. But I know that even in the language I'm using here, there's a danger, because as I say, the way we attach ourselves to the gift, I'm making it something we do, and we'll come back to that. But faith is the means by which we connect with the gift that God is offering to us. They're two sides of the same coin in that extent. And Martin Luther said this. He said, nor is our faith a meritorious act, i.e. something that we can claim credit for, that binds God to save someone he's not eternally decreed to be one of his elect. It's simply the means by which we receive our salvation according to the will of God. What Martin Luther was saying was, look, faith is the way that God has chosen to enable people to, if you want, grasp or benefit from his grace, his gift of being right with him in Jesus Christ. That's what faith is. It's the means by which we take hold of the gift that God has given us. It's not works. It is the opposite in that sense of works. It's simply the means by which we hold on to or attach ourselves to the gift that God has given. There's the first thing I want us to see. And Paul puts it here in Romans because it comes immediately after he said that works get you nowhere. Keeping the law gets you nowhere. Faith is the alternative to keeping the law. That's why Martin Luther sussed that the Roman Catholic Church had it wrong. Romans makes faith the direct opposite of works. But the Roman Catholic Church of his day had sort of merged them together and said you have a bit of faith and then you add to that works. Now, Paul says here there's works, which is fruitless and doesn't get you anywhere with God, and there is faith, which is God's given way of accessing what he gives you through the work of Christ alone, which we're going to see in a moment. So, first of all then, faith is the means by which we're made right with God. Here's the second thing I want us to see. It's the way we receive the benefits of the cross. And the emphasis here is on the benefits of the cross, or Jesus' work for us. Let me read on as we go through this passage. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, there's not one of us that can claim that we can be right with God on the basis of who we are or what we've done. No, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. But, says Paul, all are justified, that means made right with God, freely by his grace. That's the gift that we learnt about last week. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, this is touching on the Christ alone that we dealt with a couple of weeks ago.
It's God's gift, but it's entirely focused, or in the package that we open is the work of Christ, not the work of somebody else or some other philosophy. It's the work of Christ at the cross. He makes that very clear, doesn't he? Verse 25. This redemption is buying back through Jesus Christ. Well, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be, verse 25, received by faith. You see, Paul is emphasizing the same thing again, isn't he? Just so we don't miss it. If faith is the opposite to works, it's the way we receive grace, then faith is also the way by which we make sure that we are connected with the saving work of Christ that he alone has done and is alone able to make us right with God. So what we see in this passage is those three things of by Christ alone and by grace alone and by faith alone all being knitted together by Paul. So we see how they connect. They're not separate entities. They're all part of the whole. So secondly, faith is the way we receive the benefits of the cross. That's how we do it. He puts it very clearly, doesn't it? To be received by faith. There's no sense of to be, if you want, obtained by faith, as if I do faith and God graciously gives me all that Christ has done as a, if you want, payment for what I've done. No, it's received by faith. It's that picture of accepting a gift again that Matt gave us last week. It's to be received by faith. But then thirdly, I want to say that faith is trusting in the promises of God. Now, at one level here, faith is just explained in this passage, isn't it? It is just by faith. But then we say, well, what is faith? If I had to say what faith is, what would I say? If somebody asked me, what is faith? I suppose you could say that a lot of people, if you say, what is faith? It's sort of a blind hope in the face of evidence to the contrary that something might happen. Now, that is not what the Bible thinks faith is. But that's how people think about faith, isn't it? Faith is that which you do when you've abandoned all reasonable ways of getting something. Well, that's not what the Bible says faith is. Faith is a lot more clear and direct than that. It's about trusting in the promises of God. And the best way to illustrate that is by where Paul goes immediately after this passage. So if you've got a Bible open in front of you, just have a look at the beginning of the next chapter. Because Paul has got people in front of him in a way like we're doing this morning. He's got people saying, well, hold it a second, what is faith? And surely, what about those people who were in the Old Testament? Did they get to be right with God by faith? And Paul says, well, yeah, they did, actually. What shall we say then, verse 1 of chapter 4, about Abraham, our forefather? You know, did he get right with God by faith, or did he get right with God by doing things? Well, Paul goes on and said, look, Abraham was justified by, if he was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but look what he says here. What does the scripture say, verse 3, and he quotes from Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he goes on to say, look, the whole language there of credit is not earned, but just given as a gift. Do you see what Abraham did? Abraham believed God, which was his faith, and it was credited to him as righteous. He was made right with God. Now, Abraham clearly, when he believed God, believed in the promises of God about the future that he couldn't see. Belief was believing in the promises of God. Now, for you and me, the promises of God have been enlarged. Abraham was simply told there's a great future for you and your descendants in a great place. And we've seen that over the last few weeks as we've looked at the Old Testament stories of Jacob and Esau. God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing. A great future. We've seen how God fulfills all that in the person of Christ. That's the Christ alone of the Reformation truths. We've got more information than Abraham did, but we are still today those who believe in the promises of God about what he has done for us in Christ and will do in him, rather than, if you want, hold on to something tangible. Christian faith is exactly that. It is a belief in the promises of God about something that we cannot see or touch. God says that in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, I have
done what's necessary for you to be right with me, for your sin to be forgiven. Now, I can't hold on to that as a sort of physical entity. I have to trust, don't I, in the promise of God. Now, we have the benefit that Abraham didn't have of a whole story of God's interaction with his people that shows us how he was going to fulfill those promises, and if you want, fleshes out how it is that Jesus' death is a sacrifice for sin and deals with sin, and how being a sacrifice of atonement might deal with the problem of sin. So we've got much more than Abraham, but we are still those who have to trust in what God has said about what he's done on the basis of what that will mean for us in the future. In that sense, we're just like Abraham. I can't do anything to make God forgive me. All I can do is trust in what he said he has done for me in Christ at the cross. And it's not blind faith. It's not a sort of, well, I've got nothing else, I better hope in that. Because we've got all the information about the sacrificial system. We can see the logic of how that might be a sacrifice for sin. But it is trust. But that trust is in itself not a work. In other words, I can't claim credit for my faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 reminds us that that faith in itself is a gift of God. Now, I think we find that quite difficult sometimes. We think, well, I've got to have faith. We go back to George Michael, don't we? And I've got to work up faith. Let me give an example as to why actually the emphasis here is not on the faith that we work up, but on the things that we're having faith in. Now, I've checked, because, you know, I'm always a bit worried on a Sunday morning about how many people come with money in their pocket, but I know that Keith has got some money in his pocket. Keith, do you want to come up here and just give me that £20 note that you promised you would earlier? That would be great. Thank you, Keith. You go and sit down. That would be great. Thank you. I do promise to give it back. This is a standard £20 note. And in very small print, it has to be said. On this side it says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £20. I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £20. Now, that harks back, doesn't it, to when the basis for our currency was in gold that was held in the Bank of England. But the promise is there. I promise to pay the bearer on demand £20. Now imagine that I pitch up at the Bank of England. I have an appointment with Mark Carney. And I present this. And I says, it says here, all right, that you promised to pay the bearer, that's me, on demand, I'm asking, the sum of £20. So could I have the £20, please? Right, now imagine Mark Carney says to me, I'm sorry, that's just not going to work. Now imagine the reasons why it might not work. Well, one of the reasons is that there might not be any substance to the promise that Mark Carney's a liar. But imagine that Mark Carney said to me, Philip, I'm sorry, it's clear that you just haven't got enough faith in my promise. I say, hold your second. I'm here. I'm asking. No, it's simply not enough faith. We think that's ridiculous, wouldn't we? And it is ridiculous. Because the nature of faith, properly understood, is that all the weight is on the person who makes the promise, not on the person who has the faith. It's not about how much we can trust in God. It's not a matter about how much we demonstrate, it's about whether we do or we don't. It's sort of black and white. And there's that great verse in the New Testament where somebody says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a good understanding of faith, isn't it? Look, I'm trusting. I'd love to trust more confidently. You know, I'd love to be able to stroll into the Bank of England confidently and say, will you pay my £20, please? Thank you very much. Rather than a sort of nervous approach. I wonder, could I possibly have an appointment? I'm just a bit nervous. I'm not sure. There's a difference between sort of an increasing confidence in my faith, but it's whether I have it or not that's the issue. All the work is done by the one who makes the promise. And that's God.
Faith has always and will always be trusting in the promises of God. And it is never something we do. It is all about what God has done for us. In Christ alone at the cross, by grace alone, as an undeserved and unmerited gift. And faith is putting our trust in what he has done for us. It's a wonderful thing. I will give you your money back, Keith, at the end. Fear not. I want to finish. This faith, Luther understood, this sort of faith is transforming faith. Because the church that Luther was part of said the words faith, used the words faith, but they weren't the Bible words faith. And it meant that people weren't relying on what God had done in Christ alone at the cross, through grace alone, as an undeserved, unmerited gift. They were seeing faith as something that, if you want, they then added things to. And as a result, of course, they lacked confidence. They kept on thinking, I've got to work harder, I'm not sure I've done enough. Whereas Luther, as he read Romans, was transformed and understood that in a way all the weight fell off his shoulders as he saw that all he had to do was trust in what God had done for him in Christ as a free and unmerited gift. He wrote this: faith is a living, unshakable confidence in God's grace. It is so certain that someone would die 1,000 times for it. This kind of trust in and knowledge of God's grace makes a person joyful, confident, and happy with regard to God and all creatures. You see, previously weighed down by the burden of having to do in order to be right with God, Luther felt far away from those things. But now, understanding that simply by trusting in what God had done for him, by grace alone, in Christ alone, joy and confidence and happiness was something that he experienced. That, he says, is what the Holy Spirit does by faith. Through faith, now this is where I come on to where I want to conclude, where I say, look, faith alone, yet faith is never alone. Listen to what Luther says. Through faith, a person will do good to everyone, but without coercion. Willingly and happily, he will serve everyone, suffer everything, for the love and praise of God who's shown him such grace. See, Luther understood that it is by faith alone that we are confident of where we stand in God. But someone who is trusting in God by faith alone for the future will be someone who has a faith that is not alone. Because they'll be wanting to do things, but not things to earn God's favour. Things that are an actual outflow of knowing God's favour to them, undeserved by grace in Christ. It's why these solas of the Reformation transformed the lives of people. Their religion wasn't something that weighed them down, that gave them no confidence. It was something now that liberated them and enabled them to serve God with a liberated heart and a joyful countenance. You and I can be the same. By faith alone, in Christ alone, knowing that it is all by grace alone. We don't deserve it. It's unmerited. All we have to do is trust. Don't think for one moment that we aren't, in a way, just as prone to the dangers of the Church of Luther's day. We will try and add in things that we do all the time. Because we're good at that. We like to think it was down to us. But as soon as we think it was down to us, we lose the confidence and the joy and the hope and the thing that motivates joyful Christian service. It becomes a drudge and a burden and a service. By faith alone. What a wonderful understanding that Luther came to. But by faith alone. Not simply by faith. and then adding on to that to make it sure, but by faith alone. Let's pray, shall we?